As I said at the start of the show, I wanted to get to both sides of the argument about birthright citizenship. The president, in his Axios on HBO interview, says, I can end birthright citizenship with an executive order. People think, and I used to think, that it would take a constitutional amendment. Now I don't think it does. And so he seems to be indicating that he will do an executive order on that, although there's no time frame for it right at this minute. Earlier today, we heard from Dr. John Eastman at Chapman School of Law, who says that the president is right about the law and right in saying he can change it by executive order. Take a listen to this.
Somebody needs to define what citizenship is in order to comply with that law. Enforcing that law is an executive action, and perfectly appropriate by executive order to say, here's what citizenship means, here's how you apply the law. And so when the son of a diplomat comes in to get a passport and he says, I was born here, you say, well, that doesn't matter. You weren't subject to the jurisdiction because of your dad's diplomatic status. You don't get the passport. And yet our passport office has been handing out passports to people who are not legally entitled to get them. So I'd like to see Congress weigh in as well. They get both political branches weighing in, but it's not an either-or proposition. The president has to enforce the law. This executive order would help clarify what the law is. You know, unfortunately, everything ends up in the courts. And this one, you know, the courts need to weigh in. They have never addressed the issue of whether people who are not lawfully domiciled in the United States can, you know, bestow automatic citizenship on their children by mere birth. And I think it's high time after 150 years we got that question settled.
Now let's get another take on that issue now. Joining us on the KTSA Window World Newsmaker line is one of the most eminent immigration attorneys in America, also a professor of immigration law at Cardozo Law School in New York City, Mr. Michael Wiles with us on KTSA. Mr. Wiles, thanks for coming on with us. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you for hosting me.
Well, and I have to say, too, it's nice to have you on. I remember many years ago, people may forget this, but you were one of the leaders in calling out the fact that we let Muammar Gaddafi into this country to speak to the UN. And I remember you were very outspoken on that and appreciated that point of view that you had at that time.
My pleasure. I was actually a mayor of Englewood, New Jersey at the time, and he wanted to sleep in a residence that he had. This after not paying a nickel in property taxes and we having the audacity to have us take out his rubbish. And he embraced a terrorist at the time. So I'll never forget those days, and justice was served.
Absolutely. So is, you know, when the president says I can end birthright citizenship by executive order, before we get to the question of birthright citizenship itself, is he right that an executive order would be the appropriate mechanism?
No. You would need to enact a new law from Congress or to have a ratification of an amendment to the amendment of the Constitution. In other words, the 14th Amendment is well settled and was established as a series of amendments after the Civil War where it codified that citizens who are people who are born in the United States, the Immigration Act of 1952, a federal statute, 18 U.S.C. 1401, if you're born in the United States, you're an American citizen. The only people who have the authority to change that is Congress. If the president is going to say that he is declaring something in an executive order because there's an emergency, he's using his emergency power, he's creating an emergency. Just look at your watch, ladies and gentlemen. In a week's time, we have an election. The emergency will be over. Look at Article 1, Section 8 of the United States Constitution. Congress establishes a uniform rule of naturalization, not up to the President of the United States. He is, again, and I have the privilege of being his wife and her family's immigration lawyer, scaring people and trying to play fears with 6 days left to an election.
I want to understand what how we got to the concept of birthright citizenship, because when you learn about the 14th Amendment in school, you learn that the original intent of it was for freed slaves, right?
That's right. The 13th Amendment freed slaves. The 14th Amendment actually made slaves citizens, and the 15th gave slaves the right to vote. But an adjunct or the evolution of immigration law ran concurrent with these things, where we recognize, unlike a lot of other countries, and like many countries like Mexico and Canada, that it's not just the use sanguine, but it's use local, use solely, which has something to do with derivation of citizenship because you're on U.S. soil. We had a hallmark case. My father, who was John Lennon's immigration lawyer back in the day, handled the case of a woman who gave birth on an American-flagged airplane, where by the time the plane landed, the child was a citizen and the mother had to deal with her immigration affairs through our office at the time. Your birth in the United States has value. In fact, a housekeeper who gives birth in the United States, that child has every right to become an American president. And there's something unifying across the ground that you earn the privilege of being a citizen by being here. The notion of anchor babies, the derogatory term that the president has given to it, is a real sad political dialogue because there are protections in place to allow people to have children and then usurp a benefit. A child cannot petition for a parent until they're 21 years old. The parents have to make a legal entry into the United States. So there are protections to protect us from people violating the privilege of having a child born here. But if a child is born here, we have to recognize the equality and the value of that and not create a caste system where we're going to treat now, we already have 12 million people behind the wall the president would like to build. Do we really want to have 24 million illegal people because the president decides now in his own infinite wisdom that these individuals should not have been given a privilege? Mm-hmm. I think not.
Let me ask you, we're talking to Michael Wiles, immigration attorney on KTSA. So let me ask you this. If you're right, then when he issues this executive order, it would never survive its contact with the court system, right? It would immediately be thrown out.
He is an expert, and I was privileged for many years in being his lawyer and his company's lawyers. He is an expert, a purveyor of the law, and you can litigate for anything. You can hope and pray for anything in this country. And there is a healthy debate going on here, and I do not believe the president to be a bigot. I do not believe that he's trying to do anything more than act to protect us, and at the same time, to play political favor into a community that he has developed. But this is not the direction, Mr. President, that the law will allow you to go. It is Congress's play. The fact that Congress is sleeping at the helm doesn't help lawyers and the case, but it's still not the right jurisdiction.
It's interesting. As I hear you say that, I'm reminded of that speech that Senator Ben Sasse gave at the Kavanaugh hearing. I don't know if you heard it or not, but he basically called out Congress, and he said the reason these Supreme Court hearings are so contentious is because Congress punts everything to the courts, and too many things are not decided through a legislative process, but instead go to the courts. Maybe this is one of those things.
Right. So this was already established by the courts. You should know, in the 1800s, in a very hallmark case called in the U.S. versus Ark.
Right.
It was a 14th Amendment case. The 14th Amendment was ratified in 1868. This was 30 years later,
right,
where a child was born to Chinese parents who were subject to the Exclusion Act and weren't lawfully permitted to become citizens themselves. And the Supreme Court said that the 14th Amendment gave them U.S. citizenship. So it's juice solely for everybody. And then the 1952 Act codified it into law. So if you already have the Supreme Court speaking on this, if you already have the United States Congress speaking on this, just because we're facing different times, look, we fought pirates in the high seas. We did not change our laws. Our founding documents and mothers and fathers would be embarrassed every time somebody turns around and wants to change a constitutional provision or law. The skeleton that we developed and the platform that we developed should enrich our lives, and it should not be bantered as a political ping pong.
So if I can sum up, and correct me if I get you wrong, you disagree with the president on birthright citizenship, but you would at least respect if he was saying, I propose that we amend the Constitution, as opposed to, I'm going to issue an executive order.
Well, anybody can propose changes of law or that Congress change the Constitution. Good luck with that, Mr. President, is what I'm going to say. Right. But the fact that, and it won't happen in my opinion, but the fact that he would posit this a week before an election is politically motivated, not legislatively sound.
Very good. Michael Wiles, thank you for the time today. Appreciate it. Hope we can speak with you again.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right. Immigration law professor at Cardozo School of Law in New York, and as you heard him say, immigration lawyer to a number of high-profile people and cases, including, interestingly enough, Melania Trump.